Here in the Margin, WMBR Cambridge.
Dokun yaila ñu fatatalé manchini Dokun xaju tamala Dokun yurala Dokun yaila ñu fatatalé manchini Nal yaalo min munu Ali besita falo kadi Ali besita dokosika Ali besita falo kadi munalilo munali makun munalilo munali makun Ali nganche kun Ali ngata kun Ali nganche kun Ali ngama kun biwo bi jongo be na khajilo do mando ma nya kon kon beta mala fankun fankun duniya beten kine be ya fo ndesa be ya fo ndesa be ya fo ndesa kanolila ali nga nyomuta kanoni mbadia yemariwo bunkuntamala lokun yurala bolun kundaila lokun tamala nyul fatatale mambulu lokun yurala lokun tamala lokun yaila wol fatatale mankili nalalo mumunu ali besita falo kadi Ali besita dokosika munalilo munali maku munalilo ali ngamaku munalilo ali ngataku ali ngamaku ali ngataku biwo bi jongo be na khajilo do mando ma nya kon kon beta mala fankun fankun duniya beten dine be ya fo ndesa be ya fo ndesa be ya fo May I fall this May I fall this
think its scope's obviously bigger than Abu Dhabi. This is probably one of the most important architectural commissions in the world in terms of what it's trying to do. Previously, you've had a building that might try and champion one aspect of sustainable design. Here, you've got a city, doing everything first principles, building a whole city as a sustainable city. That's quite an achievement. I mean, you could argue that the biggest surprise is there aren't 20 of these projects around the world, but bearing in mind where we are at the moment with climate change.
Margin. It's WNBR Cambridge, coming to you from the basement of the Walker Memorial Auditorium from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Cambridge, Massachusetts, United States of America, planet Earth. I'm Sue. I'm so happy to have you tuned in today because we have a special show. Once a year, we invite in the class from MIT. Mission 2013 is a special project that we've got a couple of students here to tell you about. They travel to Abu Dhabi, Dubai. They had a big adventure, and they're going to tell us all about it. Zachary Barrett and Alexandra Kiesling, if I'm pronouncing their names wrong, they're going to correct me because they're looking at me right now. I'm trying to see if I'm saying things right. But anyhow, we're very, very happy to have them in. And they've got a piece for us to play. And they're going to tell us about this really amazing project that they've been focused on with their classmates. 58 of them went to Abu Dhabi to look at a city that is aiming to have zero carbon footprint. And they're going to tell us whether it's working and whether it's not, and what they learned. So we're very excited to have them. We started out the show in that spirit from Kristen Brattenberg from Sweden. Her CD is From Senegal to Settenstall. And the song we started you out with today is called Bitola. It's Reflection. So this CD is a collection, literally, of music from Northern Europe all the way down into Africa. And this song reflects an aspect of a cultural viewpoint where they draw a distinction between people who have something to accomplish and people in society who don't have something to accomplish. And those who understand what this is, according to this sort of cultural practice, implies that those who have that responsibility must set themselves certain goals in life. And there's a quote here that says, "If the raft is to be able to balance in the river, One must paddle evenly on each side. I'm going to keep listening for another minute or two to Pierre Bastien here. I'm going to get into some Tom Waits, some old staple singers. I'm going to hear from Calcutta slide guitar player Debashish Badanchara and Katie Lang. And then Zach and Alexander are going to be on hand to introduce their piece to us. Stick around. It's going to be a great show. Glad to have you with us here in the margin, WMBR, Cambridge. Some Tom Waits. It's called Hold On.
They hung a sign up in our town. If you live it up, you won't live it down. So she left Monte Rio's son. Just like a bullet leaves a gun. With a charcoal eyes and Monroe hips, she went and took that California trip. Well, the moon was gold and her hair like wind. Said, don't look back, just come on, Jim. Got to hold on, hold on. You gotta hold on, take my hand. Standing right here, you gotta hold on. We gave her a dime store watch and a ring made from a spoon. Everyone's looking for someone to blame. You share my bed, you share my name. Well, go ahead, call the cops. You don't meet nice girls in coffee shops. She said, baby, I still love you. Sometimes there's nothing left to do. You got to hold on, hold on. Baby, gotta hold on and take a mind. Standing right here, you gotta hold on. Well, God bless your crooked little heart. St. Louis got the best of me. I miss your broken China voice. How I wish you were still here with me. Oh, you build it up, you wreck it down. Then you burn your mansion to the ground. Oh, there's nothing left to keep you here. But when you're falling behind and it's a big blue world, got to hold on, hold on. Baby, gotta hold on. Take my hand. Standing right here, gotta hold on. Down by the Riverside Motel, it's thin below and falling. door. She closed her eyes and started swaying. But it's so hard to dance that way when it's cold and there's no music. Oh, your old hometown so far away, but inside your head there's a record that's playing a song called Hold On, Hold On. Baby, gotta hold on to take a mind, standing right there, gotta hold on. You gotta hold on, hold on. Baby, gotta hold on, take a mind, standing right there, gotta hold on. You gotta hold on, hold on. Baby, gotta hold on and take a mind. Standing right here, you gotta hold on. You gotta hold on, hold on. Baby, gotta hold on and take a mind. Standing right here, you gotta hold on. You gotta hold on. You gotta hold on.
There'll be key learnings that the rest of the world can take and adapt. Masdar is investing in something that the rest of the world could take advantage of. The rest of the world could benefit from them putting the money and the resources and the people and the manpower and trying to make it work. About pointing out the mistakes this place makes will be huge, but there'll be mistakes that the rest of the world can learn from as well.
Will you make the rest of the world do the same?
Oh, they tell me.
Cloud, yeah. you know what we keep saying about modular city is that one day all cities will be built that way, and I truly believe so. I think in the next 100 years, if not all cities are built that way, the whole human race will be in trouble.
In the margin on WMBR in Cambridge. I'm Sue, happy to have you with me today, special show. We've got Zachary Barrett and Alexander Kiesling here. Did I say your names right?
Mine is correct. Hi, everyone. I'm Alexander Kiesling.
Hi, I'm Zach Barrett-y. It's fine, everyone.
Barrett-y, all right.
Everyone has their own pronunciation.
We've never met each other before, so how am I supposed to know, right?
Yeah.
So you guys were two of 58 folks who went over to Abu Dhabi?
I'm not quite sure about the number, but yes.
It's close, yeah.
I think on the website it said 58 people went.
That's probably right.
Let's trust the website.
And you're part of, you're part of an MIT freshman class, right?
Yeah.
Called Mission 2013. Is that the name of the class?
So that was class last term. Actually, more than a class, we're part of a freshman learning community. That's what they call it, called Terrascope. And each year we have one class called Mission 20 or 9, yeah, something, the year of graduation. Ours was Mission 2013. And yeah, we're here because...
So Terrascope is sort of an umbrella of a class, a group of freshmen, and Mission 2030 is a specific part of the larger study that you're doing.
Yes.
And what seems to distinguish you all is that you have a very specific assignment, right, with Mission 2013, which is quite fascinating, which is why you're here today, right? Every year, this freshman class gets a different assignment.
Yeah.
And why don't you guys tell me what your assignment was this year?
Well, in the fall, we did a project where we had to come up with a solution. Each year, the class has to come up with some sort of a solution to a different problem. Our year's problem was too much CO2 in the atmosphere. So we had to come up with a plan that would sequester CO2 to a safe level. We were confined to just using sequestration techniques, but that's where you store it in different places in the world, or not in the world. If you want to shoot into space or something, we just had to figure out a way to get the CO2 levels to a safe level.
So this is not like a problem like you have too many grubs in your lawn and you got to figure out how to fix the lawn, or the baseboards just are really dirty consistently in the house. The problems you guys take on in this class have global implications.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually.
The real name of the class is Solving Complex Problems, and it's in the Department of Environmental, EAPS, the course 12 people. So every year it's something related to Earth systems. this year was the atmosphere and the problem, the excess of CO2 in it.
Les, and I mentioned earlier, I have a sort of a legacy going now. I think you guys are the third year in a row I've had Terrascope on the air. So the past shows, I was looking in my archives. We did one last year, I believe it was on the coming water shortage in Western North America. And the year before, I had a group in from who had gone to Iceland to study fisheries and the problem with overfishing. So you guys get to take really cool trips.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Is that the main reason you take the class?
No.
Yeah, so just to read, to sort of be a slacker and read off the website, it says, this is, I mean, it's fantastic. You guys, I mean, again, it seems like what an amazing opportunity, but also what a daunting challenge. It says is to the mission 2013 is to propose an integrated global solution to the rapid rise in atmospheric CO2 that will stabilize concentrations at an economically viable and internationally acceptable level. So it recognizes that people are fighting about this all the time, right? So you guys are supposed to figure out how to make peace and make everybody go along with your plan, right?
And yeah, that was probably the most difficult part of all. Because, I mean, when you're doing the science or the technology, it's pretty straightforward to a certain point. You got to figure out what the proportions of each technology you want to use, et cetera, et cetera. But basically the problem when it comes to real life is, okay, we have all these technologies, but how can we make people actually like get to use them? How do we reach agreements between countries? Who's going to pay how much? Because it's a worldwide problem. So that was probably the most difficult part of our assignment.
Because you guys are, you're here at MIT, you have a science, you're all over science and formula, right? That's like the easy stuff for you, right? It's hard for the rest of us, but for you guys, that's the easy part, right? Not necessarily easy, but so here you are, right? Right now, you're at the point where you have finished the class, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like Alexander was telling me, he just this afternoon finished his last exam.
Oh yes,
same. Yeah. I finished mine yesterday.
You did?
Yeah.
I was saying to Alexander before you got here, are you Zach or Zachary?
Whichever is easier
for
you.
I keep wanting to say Zach, but I just want to say
Zach.
What you call him? What
Zach?
You call him Zach?
Yeah. Okay. I never noticed that.
I'm going to call you. You respond either way.
Yep.
But I was saying that having graduated from college many years ago myself, there is nothing that compares the rest of your life to the way you feel right now. Like finishing your exams after a year of college is like the best feeling, one of the best feelings you'll ever have. So congratulations to you both.
Yeah,
so what does this mean? Now you finished your mission 2013 semester. You guys are done with this now?
Yeah. Done more or less. I mean, we're never really gonna go away. As part of the program, you can volunteer to be what they call a UTF, an undergraduate teaching assistant, where you can mentor the students who are going, the freshmen who are going through the class again. And many people choose to do that. Also, the Terrascope room has program has a very nice room, a lounge, which we have access to. So if ever we choose to work there, we're going to see Terrascope students in the future doing their projects. Be able to give them advice. Not too much. We want them to learn on their own too.
That's
and
really
we get the chance to go on the next trips.
That's right. It said something about alumni or something going on the trips too.
Yeah.
So give a little snapshot then, so how it all took form. So you did eventually. You all went to Abu Dhabi to look at what's. Give us a little frame, because what we're going to do. Zach and Alexander brought in the piece. So part of the class is they produce a radio piece. And it's a 22-minute piece that's quite clever. We'll talk about it after we listen to it. But the production of it is quite clever. And you guys are getting better and better every year, I want to say. The radio piece sort of captures this trip you took, right? So give a little chronology of, you know, the class, what you went there to do, and bring us to the present point. So then we'll play the piece.
We started.
So, as I said, this is a, they call it a freshman learning community. So we actually enrolled to this before coming to MIT. And pretty much they gathered all the people that signed up for Terrascope the first day of class. We're in this big room and they were like, okay, welcome. This is Mission 2013. And the problem this year is the high levels of CO2 in the atmosphere. They read what you just read about, like, the goal. And they're like, okay, so we're going to give you the necessary tools, like the access to the libraries and the search engines, etc. But pretty much go start doing research and come back in a couple months with a solution.
Yeah, and through the, I mean, the class was a little more guided than that for the few days of class. I mean, we did actually have classes where we sat down and, you know, we were talked to about different things and given suggestions, but really the class was about how we decided to shape it. There was actually a point where our instructor, Sam Bowering, decided to actually just step back and said, all right, guys, no more formal instructions. From now on, it's just you. And if anyone in the class wants to step up and help organize this, feel free. If not, do whatever. And at that point, we kind of made the class our own. Made a solution eventually after a while.
After a lot of work.
a lot of
disagreements. But it was an interesting experience.
Yeah. We learned a lot about more than just the problem, and I'm sure every year Terrascope students learn this, about working in a large group setting. You're gonna have to work with everyone there, not just a few people. So you need to know everyone there. You need to feel comfortable giving people input and feedback. And you want to make something that everyone's proud of and that works.
How many of you were in the class?
Well, do you mean how many started in the class or how many finished the class?
That's insight. Get a lot of insight there. So give both figures.
I am not quite sure about this, but I have the idea that about 120 people started the class, like enrolled in the Terrascope program. Many of them dropped even before starting classes because they realized that it was not what they wanted to do here. But I feel like at the end, we were somewhere in between 60, 70 people in the class.
So you had to come up with a collective plan that everybody signed off on?
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty much. getting everyone to agree was a difficult part. So, I mean, there were some decisions that not everyone agreed, but it was majority. And we thought that it was the best idea because, I mean, also we got probably 4 months to do this, so we couldn't cover everything as deeply as we wanted. So we had to like choose what we're gonna do. That's
intense.
Yes,
we could have a whole show on just that process alone. Like, I want to ask you, like, why did they? What were your fights about? I want to hear the good stuff. But I think we don't. The show's half over. My God. Well, this is really great. I'm so glad to have you here, and I'm gonna now go to your piece.
Okay.
When was this trip?
Spring break.
Yeah.
Spring
okay.
Break.
So it's fresh. Pretty
yeah,
fresh.
Yeah.
You're just back. And how long were you there?
A week.
Okay.
About.
Yep. All right. So we're going to take a listen. And does this piece have a name?
Yes.
Yes.
It's called The Heated Future, A Timely Tale. Yeah. And just a quick mention. This is actually the second part of the program. There were two other classes offered. One of them, Terrascope Radio, which is where we produced this show, this piece. And another one that was designed for environmental issues. So they are both to now reach out to the general public and explain what we did last term.
So that brings you to the very present moment, right? You're
exactly.
Converting minds as we speak. And your advisors are Ari Epstein and Beverly Meyer. Did you work with Beverly too?
No, we didn't. She works with Terrascope Youth Radio.
Youth Radio, okay. Mm-hmm. But Ari is your advisor. Is there anybody else you want to credit before we take it off?
Well,
Ruth and Deborah did a lot of work.
Yeah, Yeah, we have Deborah Axel and Ruth Weinrib from the Toroscope office. They've always been helping.
They do everything.
And our teaching assistants, Adam Buckley and Elizabeth Jones.
And we have Zach and Alexander from Terrascope here in the March and WMBR. Let's take it away. Our heated future, right?
The heated future.
The heated future that we all have to look forward to. Keep your ears on it here.
It is the 22nd century. The air is hazy and polluted, and most people no longer find it bearable. There are no more birds because, well, they just could not handle the air. Some say they all just left one day. The weather is wild, and it is impossible to tell when the next storm will be. The soil is too harsh to grow most plants, and people are starving. Despite this, they go on leading relatively normal lives. This story unfolds with the plight of three teenagers, Avi, Rundle, and Ignatius.
Hey, Avi. Ignatius, wait up.
Come on, Rundle. We're not even walking that quickly.
I know, Avi. It's just that my lungs can't take it anymore.
Oh, Rundle, you sound like an old man. Why don't you just take the bus?
Ignatius, you know it's Thursday. No vehicles allowed on the road. That's the law. Besides, buses will only make my lungs worse.
And Rundle was completely right. You see, his bad lungs were a result of the high concentrations of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Rundle's very sensitive lungs only got worse each day as the air got more saturated with pollution.
I guess you're right, Rundle.
Of course he is, Ignatius. Besides, you shouldn't be one to criticize. Look at the way you're sweating. It's like you just came out of a shower or something.
That's gross.
I'm just overheating. Hey, there's the cold ration stand. Let's cool down before we all get heat strokes like we did last week.
Yeah, sure.
I sometimes wonder if this is normal.
Huh?
You know, that we get heat strokes from staying outside too long? That I have these terrible lungs? I wonder if it's just the way it is or I don't know.
Well, I don't want a heat stroke now. Let's get some cold ration.
As the three walked up to the cold ration man, they noticed something peculiar. The cold ration man was not at his usual corner, but exactly 3 meters to the south of his usual spot. Exactly 3 meters to the north of him was a glistening silver shell. It shimmered eerily in the pale sunlight above, humming with light and mystery.
Whoa! What is that?
What's with that large, old-looking metallic box on your corner, Cold Ration Man? Is the city making a new dump zone?
I don't know. It's been there since I got here this morning. Maybe it's a dumping zone. But that sure doesn't look like any trash I've seen before.
That's weird. I wonder what it is. Let's go check it out.
There's a note on it, stuck to a big red button. Hey, look, it has our names on it.
Ignatius, don't be so loud.
Why not?
It feels like we should be quiet or something.
A note? What? Who's it from?
It says, within the space-time machine lies the power to change the world. A-R-I.
Space-time machine? And who is Ari?
That's ridiculous. I think someone's trying to pull a prank on us.
Well, let's just try it. See what happens.
I don't know about this, guys.
I still want my cold ration.
Where's your sense of adventure? Ignatius, push the button.
Ignatius, don't press it.
Really? Is this all they can come up with? This is such a lame prank.
Ah! What was that?
Ouch! Are you guys all right?
Cool down sequence initiated. reversing neutron flow polarity, recalibrating relativistic sensors. Estimated time remaining, 48 hours.
I'm okay. I just got sand in my mouth. What on earth was that?
Where are we?
It's all sand dunes, as far as I can see. I don't know. It sounds crazy, but it must be the future. I think it really was a space-time machine. We know the future now. Global warming keeps getting worse and turns everything into desert. And I guess we can't go back for 2 days.
And Evie was almost exactly right. She, Rundle, and Ignatius had just participated in a journey through space and time in a space-time machine. You see, that strange contraption they had thought to be a prank had not transported them to the future, but to the past.
Look over there. What on earth is that?
Is that a camel? But camels have been extinct for at least 100 years. When are we?
Oh, we must be in the past. Right, like that could happen. It's some sort of prank. Time machines don't exist.
Suddenly a strange figure appeared, staring straight at the travelers.
You three! I've told you kids 100 times, don't wander away from the tour.
It was a tour guide.
We've got a busy day planned. After the camel ride is the tour of Mazda, and then the belly dancing workshop. And so help me God, I'm not losing another student in this desert.
And before Evie, Rundle, and Ignatius could do any more, they were whisked away and quickly incorporated into a tour group. The group, as luck would have it, as luck often does, was there to view an interesting city called Mazdar. As the three soon discovered, they had landed in a desert in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates.
You don't want to miss Mazdar City. I hate my job.
Mazdar? What's that?
It must be where we are.
I just want to get back to the time machine and figure out what's really going on.
Shh, guys, someone's talking now.
Mazdar City is the best project in the world, and I'm saying that with a smile on my face. Think about it. It's the world's first zero-waste, carbon-neutral city. And there's a lot of talk about zero-carbon, zero-waste cities around the world, but none have been built. I mean, it's a tremendous challenge. It's great.
Wow, this place sounds really cool. Do we actually get to see it?
Listen up. I think someone's going to give us instructions.
Okay, good afternoon. My name's Robert. I'm one of the safety managers here for Mazda. I've been asked to come and give you a short briefing on what you can and can't do on our project. What you can't do is take any of our trucks and drive them around the site. You can't go climbing ladders. You can't throw things at people. I wouldn't feed anybody out there if I were you. Other than that, as long as you stay together, you stay near the bus. You're going to stop in a couple of areas where you can get off the bus and you'll be given a presentation.
And of course, Robert's words held true. The three soon discovered what Mazdar was by going on the tour that Robert had promised.
And this city is renowned because it's supposedly completely self-sustainable, in that it doesn't rely on any sort of conventional fuel technologies, but rather geothermal and solar power and wind power and various renewable technologies. But interesting place.
I think its scope's obviously bigger than Abu Dhabi. This is probably one of the most important architectural commissions in the world in terms of what it's trying to do. Previously, you've had a building that might try and champion one aspect of sustainable design. Here, you've got a city, doing everything from first principles, building a whole city as a sustainable city. That's quite an achievement. I mean, you could argue that the biggest surprise is there aren't 20 of these projects around the world, bearing in mind where we are at the moment with climate change.
That's crazy. The city is going to be made entirely sustainable.
That means cleaner air? Ever since we got here, I haven't been out of breath once.
Now that you mention it, I've felt different myself.
I wonder if that has anything to do with the air.
It probably does. It makes sense, right? Yeah. Our parents always said that back in their day, things were better. Well, now we are back in their day. And the city is trying to reduce pollution. We try to do it in our time, but it's too late.
Keep up with the group.
Hey, let's catch up with the tour.
You know, I can drive you all back to the desert and leave you there. I hate you people. Make my life miserable. Come on, people, on to the next speaker. Keep up. We've got a packed schedule.
I think there'll be key learnings that the rest of the world can take and adapt. Masdar is investing in something that the rest of the world could take advantage of. The rest of the world could benefit from them, putting the money and the resources and the people and the manpower and trying to make it work. We're very keen about pointing out the mistakes this place makes will be huge, but there'll be mistakes that the rest of the world can learn from as well.
Will you make the rest of the world do the same thing?
Say, come, look at us, see what we're doing. Masdar's saying, let's work on these things together and develop them, and if it's relevant to where you live and you can take our learnings and develop them, then that's where it'll be real benefit. So it's pretty cool.
So how will you get people to follow you?
I think Masdar has a very strong corporate brand, and a lot of people around the world know what Masdar is and what it's doing. But if you actually look at the partners involved in putting this together, they come from all over the world. They're working with global partners on one initiative, and if those global partners can make advances here, then that'll spread or be a ripple effect elsewhere around the world.
So the city's like an experiment? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it seems like these people are trying to prevent some future catastrophe.
They're trying to prevent our future.
That's so weird. I mean, I just always assumed that the way we lived was the only way it could ever be. I never thought that it could be more bearable. Hey, we're going inside. Is this some sort of cafeteria?
Indeed, the three had entered the cafeteria of the Masdar Institute of Science and Technology. The students were sitting and chatting casually.
Hey, I'm Rundle. These are my friends Avi and Ignatius. We've been touring Masdar all day and we're wondering what you thought about it. Do you guys think it'll work?
I think so. Well, I hope so more than I think so. Because, nothing works as theory proposes, really. But I hope it will work. I hope it will work. Yeah, I have big hopes, I would say, that it will work, according to what I saw so far.
Every great act in this world needed a push at the beginning, and it is actually that Masdar started this push to a more sustainable future, and that by itself is a great achievement. What impact will it have? We will see, but I think it will have a very deep impact.
Keep saying about Masdar City is that one day all cities will be built that way, and I truly believe so. I think in the next 100 years, if not all cities are built that way, the whole human race will be in trouble.
Well, that guy was certainly wrong. The future cities weren't built like Masdar. Look where we came from.
I think the most likely reason is that the rest of the world didn't follow Masdar's footsteps. Like the guy said, this is just one of those things. It's got to be the whole world and not just one city.
We should stick around and find out what went wrong.
I want to go back home once the time machine is ready. I mean, go forward home. I mean, being a time traveler is confusing.
Being a time traveler is depressing. It's like reading a book when you already know that everyone dies at the end. I need a drink first.
Aren't you underage? We're like negative a million years old.
I'm with Rundle. Drinks, anyone?
The pub was dimly lit and the tables were graying with age. The three sat down at a table with a man visiting from the UK and a few of his friends.
Is that a newspaper? There's a lot of talk about global warming and climate change.
Yeah, the future looks pretty darn bleak. Hey, have you read this article? What do you think about climate change?
Shall I be honest with you? I do not care about climate change.
All right.
I honestly do not give a shit. Because I feel that governments bring up climate change to control their population. And they we need to worry about this. We need to worry about this. Give us votes. And I don't actually think anything's going to happen. And I think we're just brainwashed. That's honestly my opinion. That's deep, huh?
But climate change is such a huge problem right now. Haven't you heard about the things that could happen if we don't try to save our planet? There's a real reason the government tries to prevent people from wasting so much energy.
They tax us high for all white cause because of climate and things like that. That's not because of climate, that's because of money. That's what I think it is. If it was because of climate, then the MPs would be driving in hybrids and the Queen would be driving in hybrids, but they're not. They're in SL, they're in big S classes, 5-litre S classes and stuff. But they don't actually care, but they use it for a vote and they use it to control the population.
But you could lose everything if you don't try to do something. Just because the Queen is doing something wrong doesn't mean that you have to do it as well. Don't you like nature and all of the beautiful things in the world, like waterfalls and rainforests? I've never been to any of those, but I've heard they're amazing.
I care about things like chopping down trees and stuff, and the only reason for that is a selfish reason, so that I can visit rainforests and stuff. But
that's the only reason.
Yeah. It's selfish, completely selfish. And so I don't care what I've left for anyone else. It's really bad, really selfish, but it's just how I feel.
I can't bear to hear this anymore. Let's go. I hate it how they don't care. They don't even know what awaits them.
Is that what went wrong? Not enough people cared about saving the planet?
Well, let's not be too harsh. Those guys aren't to blame. No one is giving them a reason to care. If some world leaders are being hypocritical about it, it makes sense not to want to do anything. Why should they?
We know what will happen when people do nothing. Blaming it on the world leaders doesn't fix the problem.
Exactly. If your house is on fire, are you going to stand around and argue about who started it?
They don't understand the gravity. That made me even more upset.
Cheer up. I'm sure there are some people out there who think we should do something.
Yeah, we just heard a few opinions.
They went around and met more people who had some positive things to say.
I for one, I drive a small car, and I recycle, and I'm trying to do my bit, conserving water and that type of thing. But I think governments, and I think everyone can do things on a small scale, and those add up to bigger things. And I think we should be doing more of a thing for global warming and conserving our resources.
But what can we do? Not driving cars. This is one thing that each one of us can really do something. You don't have to drive it 7 days a week. Start with 3 days a week or whatever. Okay, and your ACs, for instance, in Abu Dhabi. Well, try to do something about your ACs. Do you need really to make them, put them on all day, all night? I mean, while you are awake, you can do them. While you are asleep, you can contribute to global warming a little bit by putting them off. And I don't think that you'll wake up sweating, but you can take a shower.
See? There are some people willing to make sacrifices.
Yeah. You know, I wake up sweating every morning. It's funny to think that if we all save a bit of power, we might not need as much power to keep ourselves cool. It's like an endless loop or something. Hey, what's wrong, Rundle? You look troubled.
It's just, I was thinking about the space time machine. Who left it there for us? What were those initials ARI? Any ideas, Avi?
Rundle?
Ignatius!
Oh!
Avi, Rundle, Ignatius? ARI? It was us!
That means we must have sent the space-time machine back. We sent it to ourselves, but why did we stay here?
Because we should stay here. We have to try to help the world change for the better. What those guys said in the bar shook me. I mean, it seems like they just don't understand that this is a serious problem.
But if we send the space-time machine back, we can never go home again.
I'm with Avi on this one. We can never see our friends or family again.
But Avi, what was so great about home anyway? We're the only people here who truly understand just how important it is to stop climate change. We have a duty to stay here and change the future.
You're right, Rundle. If we stay, maybe we can avert the catastrophe.
And so, Avi, Rundle, and Ignatius decided to leave their lives behind them to work towards a greater purpose: saving the future. Now the question arises, What are we doing to make our future as bright as possible? If we don't do anything, will there be a time machine for us to go back in time and undo our mistakes? How much do we care about the planet? How much do we care about ourselves and future generations?
So what do you think about Masdar?
Masdar? I hope it becomes real. I hope it becomes... comes to life. And I hope that it will be a real carbon-free city.
Do you think the world leaders are doing enough to combat global warming?
I don't think so, because it's not just about their role. It's everybody's role on this planet.
What message do you think Masdar gives to the whole world?
Join us in our journey. Simply because we won't be able to do it alone. We can walk for some time, but we need also some people to walk with us. And that's what it's about. We see people coming now, more and more and more. And we just have to keep that spirit. And the more we have people, the more, like, you know, success stories we're going to have. Just join us in our journey.
If you could change one thing about the world, like people's lifestyles, what would it be?
The important thing, if we love others, if I think you like myself, I will never do anything bad to you. From the road, I will keep it clear. The atmosphere, the water, the life, everything. Smile. When I talk to you, smile. If we love others, that's a good idea.
This piece was produced by the students of Terrascope Radio.
Terrascope is a freshman learning community at MIT, part of the Office of Experiential Learning.
The program was written, voiced, and produced by
Zachary Barity,
Shrikant Bola,
Alexander Jordan,
Brian Joseph,
Alexander Kiefling,
Kenya Mejia,
Samuel Millington,
Allison Schneider,
and Shavinesh Sukesh,
with a special appearance by Ruth Weinrib.
All interviews were conducted in Abu Dhabi and other locations we visited during the Messiah Foundation Terrascope Field Experience.
We want to thank Ari Epstein, our instructor, and our teaching fellows, Elizabeth Jones and Adam Balkley, for all their guidance and patience.
We would also like to thank Sam Bowring for organizing the trip to Masdar, and Deborah Axel and Ruth Weinrib from the Terrascope office.
Thanks also to Tyler Thompson and John Lim for providing us with our own recording booth, and to Emily Moberg from Terra Voice.
Special thanks to everyone working on the Masdar initiative, especially the faculty, staff, and students of Masdar Institute of Science and Technology.
Well, you're tuned in to In the Margin on WMBR in Cambridge. I'm Sue with two of the talented producers and the students who participated in this exciting project. It's part of their Mission 2013. Terrascope is their class from MIT. They're back from Abu Dhabi, from Masdar City, and they're live here with me. Thanks for that great piece. That was really, really... I like the whole sort of fantasy component. And Alexander, you were our... You want to put on your persona? Put your persona?
Yeah, so... I was the narrator. Hopefully you don't recognize me as a narrator. That would mean that I actually changed my voice enough, but yeah.
It was real. So one thing we should say, why Abu Dhabi and why Masdar City? I mean, give us the reason why you went to that particular location to do this study, which, again, to reiterate, if you're just joining us, they had this assignment to come up with, as a class, to come up with an integrated solution that addressed the global problem of rising CO2 rates and also, you know, try to do something that, you know, was harmonic and that assuaged people around the world, a solution that would be palatable. But first tell us, before we get into, in our remaining time here, what you actually came up with. Tell us why Masdar City.
So we actually didn't pick where we were going. That was our instructor, Sam Bowring. Actually, that was a surprise for us. Like, when we were about to finish our assignment last term, he was like, okay, this is where we're going. And I think that we went there because we were working with how to solve the problem of the excess CO2 in the atmosphere. And pretty much we can go somewhere where you can see the problem, like, in a very bad condition. Or we could go to Masdar, because it's a place where they're actually working towards a solution.
Their goal is actually to have, I don't know if they've achieved it, maybe you can tell us, but their goal is to live in an absolutely neutral, have a neutral carbon footprint. Yeah. A lot of people aren't, I wasn't even aware of that, that any place like that existed.
Actually, it's because it doesn't exist yet.
They're still building it. They're in, I think, phase one right now.
Yeah.
Of phase one of four.
And part of what drives it, so Abu Dhabi is the capital of the United Arab Emirates, right? And part of what's driving them is the fact that, haven't they determined that they are this very extreme, it's also considered the richest city in the entire world by some accounts, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Abu Dhabi.
One of them.
So they are going to run out of oil in 50 years, right? Is that one? Some of the projections are quite
that
dire.
That could be a driving factor.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not really sure. I mean, the oil is still going to be there, but eventually we will have to change our methods of producing energy and transportation, etc. So they want to be a part of that because they realize that, well, this is my perspective, they realize that all their money is coming from oil, and eventually society will... evolve into a non-oil consuming society, so they need to have something to stand on. I feel like that's why they are developing this. And I mean, Abu Dhabi as a city, but the people involved with the project, they're actually like very interested in all this idea of eco-friendly and trying to engineer a livable future for everyone.
And it's also, it seems, I'm just thinking about, like, what are the factors, like, why couldn't we do something like that here, you know, why couldn't we have, you know, Houston and do that experiment in Houston? I mean, it seems like they've got a huge amount of money, they've got, so that gives them tremendous freedom. They also have this political system where they're run by this singular royal family that is one of those bloodlines that you're born into it, so therefore you become the god of the universe and the right, and you rule. And they happen to have a benevolent leader or a visionary leader who the Sikh, right, must believe in this stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
So that sort of is a perfect storm of... And the size of it is, it's like the size of, the whole city is the size of, the population is like Detroit or something, right? In other words, it's not like this, again, I'm comparing it to the United States in this sprawling mass of, so it's kind of a perfect little microcosm to go study.
Yeah. It's actually pretty interesting. The city is already planned, everything's planned out, like how they're going to build it, et cetera, et cetera. And I guess one of the most amazing things is that probably the like a big percentage of their not consuming energy comes from the most simple things, like how you design the buildings, how close they are to each other, because you get enough spacing for wind to blow, so you regulate temperature, but you also have shading. I mean, those are things that can be done everywhere, but they are actually doing it because they have the advantage of designing this city from scratch. They have this big chunk of land, and they're like, okay, we're going to build something here, unlike the rest of the world that we have cities and we keep like adding parts and patching, etc.
So it's sort of like, I would think it's like an architect's mecca.
A little bit. I mean, they get to, as Alex said, they get to start from scratch. So, I mean, they can make it whatever they want. And they just decided to make it something that might be a bit more sustainable.
Did you feel as though, let's talk a little bit about, well, first let's play, you brought some music and some stuff. Let's tell me about this recording that you guys made. What, in your hotel room?
Yeah, no, the first day of our trip was a very easygoing day. We went visit like the touristic places, and in a very impressive hotel, there were some musicians playing, and we actually, I mean, we were 9 people with professional recording kits and free time in an exotic place. So, I mean, it's like a kid with a new toy. So we recorded these musicians in the hotel, in the lobby.
These just sort of average people picking up and playing?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, they were just sitting in the lobby and, you know, playing.
Feels like you could want to dance to this.
Yeah. It was a really nice music space. It was a huge room. The sound really carried everywhere.
Do you know what these instruments are?
Shoot.
No, not really.
No, because they have a whole other... They have a whole other set of instruments, right?
Yeah.
To play. So, did you guys come up with solutions? Can you tell us a little bit about your solution, and perhaps is it in a place where folks who are interested in what you guys came up with could actually look at? Is it public information? Or?
We made, as part of our project, we had to make a website. Mm-hmm. So, we're on the web now, mm-hmm. with our solution posted. The solution itself, gosh, I don't know if I can sum it
we
up.
We need another 2 hours and charts and PowerPoint.
Basically what it was we looked at where we were going with the best estimates we could find, and we looked at where we wanted to be, and we basically took a chart and cut it into pieces, and took each of those pieces and said, how can we reduce by this much? How can we reduce by this much? And put different technologies into those categories. So our solution lists, you know, what percentage we want to do of this, what amount of money we're going to put into research for what other technology that might be viable in the future. And I guess the hardest part was coming up with, you mentioned earlier, a way of presenting this to the public that would be viable, so that people wouldn't automatically say no. I'm not going to do this.
Yeah. So we focused first on how to reduce our emissions. What technologies can we use to stop emitting as much CO2 as we are doing right now? Because we realize that it's not something that you can say, okay, we're just going to, starting tomorrow, all our power plants are going to be renewable energies. Like, that cannot happen. So we try to figure out ways of reducing the emissions first, like using point source capture is for the energy plants that prevents CO2 from going into the atmosphere. Gradually changing our transportation to electric vehicles, and I mean stuff like that. Then how to stop emitting, and that section included a transformation of our energy production system to renewable energies, including nuclear.
And, nuclear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then how to bring the levels down, because it seems like we are already above the concentration where we would want to be. We're in 386 parts per million, and we would like to be in 350. Mm-hmm. So the challenge is, how do you get that CO2 that is already dispersed in the whole world, mm-hmm. and take it out? So we were looking at various technologies, using living systems like trees, algae, etc. And also using a technology called alkaline scrubbing, air capture. The problem with that was that it was too expensive, so... we had to figure out the numbers. That was part of... I feel like that was the biggest issue, the economics and politics of it all.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't get into, as you were saying, how to get everybody to go along with it.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, we wanted to reduce the cost as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
One of our original plans, I think, was about twice the world GDP. So we had to change that because that just wasn't going to work.
Like boing.
So, but now our plan doesn't cost twice what the world will make.
So, and your website is it Mission 2013 Trip? Which website would where do people go to see what your solution is and other details of your work?
The web address itself is a little.
One of our
team members, the one who created it, linked it off of one of his accounts. The best way to find it is probably to find the Terrascope main page, and there listed all of the class websites. Mission 2012, Mission 2011, all the way back.
All right, so Terrascope, is it terrascope.edu or what's that website?
web.mit.edu/terrascope. I feel like probably the easiest way to find it is just Google.
Yeah.
No, really.
I knew we were going there
Google
eventually.
Search, Terrascope, Mission 2013.
Yeah. Okay.
Carbon.
Okay, I'm doing it right now. Mission 2013, the first three results are our webpage.
Woohoo! All right. Awesome. All roads lead to Google. So maybe Google has... Can you Google carbon CO2 reduction solution?
Let's see.
I wonder. I don't know if we used the word reduction.
No, I'm saying that Google would actually bring us the actual solution. And world peace.
Oh, there we are.
I feel like we can find that. No.
Probably not. There's the solution right there.
So we have just a couple minutes left, and we have to play this song before we go, too. But can you just quickly tell me, so you guys are, you're freshmen, you're going to be sophomores next year. Do you feel like this influenced you? Are you going to?
Yes.
This is, definitely.
Are you going to shape what you continue to do based on this work? And tell me, just give me a word or two about that.
I mean, I think the biggest thing that I got out of this class, all carbon dioxide aside, was what a fun challenge it is to work with large groups of people. If nothing else, it's taught me a tremendous deal about that. It's a lot of fun, and it's really rewarding to do something with such a huge group and do something so meaningful, and be able to make so many people in the group happy. I think that was probably the best thing that I got out of this class.
How about you, Alexander?
Yeah, also, working in this big group and learning how to work in a group, how to do research, etc. Those are things that you cannot learn in a regular class. Those are things that you have to do. So, regardless of what field you're doing, those are things that you will need. So that's probably what helped me the most. And regarding to the subject itself, I think that it's a very interesting, very complex problem, and I am more than willing to keep on doing research on this. Now more experimental and...
Well, it's really an honor to have you both on the air, and it's really tremendous the work that you've started, because it's just a little seed, it seems like, for a lot more ahead. And you're so smart, and you're so, you know, you understand the greater good. So it's good stuff, and I wish you all the luck in the world going forward. And I just have a really important question. Do you want to close with the cheesy, almost theme song or not?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you. Thank you to Ari Epstein and his group and all the rest of your crew from Terrascope. And I hope to see you again next year. Not you personally, but your brethren.
Thank you.
Okay. Take good care. And we're going to send you all on your way with the cheesy, almost theme song for Terrascope this semester. Take good care. And stick around, we have the news coming up next.
think about the generations and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children so that they know it's a better world for them and think they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart.